Chapter 46. The address that Javier sent to Hurst was close to Wormwood Scrubs Prison in Hammersmith, just north of the A40 and around the corner from the Old Oak Primary School. He was tense throughout the drive, constantly checking his mirrors for any sign of a police presence. There was a chance that they wouldn't realize that the window had been shot out, but there would be no mistaking the bullet holes in the side door. When he arrived, there were three vehicles waiting for him, two SUVs, one white and one green, and a Mercedes with tinted windows. There were houses only on one side of the road, and the other wasn't well covered by streetlights, so it was as good a place as any for the meet. He parked at the rear of the convoy and climbed out. He couldn't see who was in the Mercedes, but as he reached it, the rear door opened.
"Get in," said a voice.
Hurst bent down to look inside. There was one man in the back and two in the front. They were all in their 30s, well-muscled with short haircuts and hard eyes, but he placed them more as bouncers than soldiers. The man in the back had a thick moustache and jet black hair and had the look of a young Freddie Mercury, with slab-like teeth that his lips seemed to have trouble sliding across.
"You're Marty?"
he asked. He was wearing a brown leather bomber jacket, and as he offered a handshake, Hurst saw the butt of a gun in a holster under his left shoulder.
"Yeah,"
said Hurst. He shook the hand. The man had a tight, firm grip.
"I'm Dean."
He had a North of England accent, Manchester maybe.
"Dean Barrett."
"Good to meet you." Barrett introduced the two men in the front of the Mercedes.
"This is Simon. We call him Simple. But he isn't really. Andy's driving. Andy Pandy, we call him."
Andy shook hands with Hurst. "How much have you been told?" Hurst asked Barrett.
"That you're in charge, and when you say jump, we ask how high."
"And you're okay with that?" Barrett shrugged.
"Javier said you're former SAS, and that you know your stuff."
"Did he now?" Hurst wasn't happy at Javier broadcasting his CV. But knew there was nothing he could do about it. Javier called all the shots, literally and figuratively.
"We're up for whatever you need," said Barrett.
"You're being well paid?"
"It's not always about the money with Javier. It's about staying in his good books. He's not a man you say no to. Am I right?"
Hurst nodded. "I hear you. So how many men do you have, and what skill sets do they have?"
"There's 9 of us in total. Most of the others work for a security company I run, and they're all dead solid and as hard as nails. Simon and Andy have been with me for going on 10 years. I'd trust them with my life."
"Any former military?"
"2 of the guys are former Irish Special Forces."
"Ranger Wing?" asked Hurst. Barrett nodded.
"That's it. They're good in a scrap so long as they don't put their balaclavas on the wrong way around."
He started to laugh, but stopped when he saw the look of disgust on Hurst's face.
"Sorry, just trying to lighten the moment," he said.
"Yeah, well, I need to be brought up to speed, not entertained," said Hurst. "Who else has military experience?"
"2 of the guys in the front car were squaddies. Both did tours in Iraq, but they were there after all the shit happened. One of the guys in the second SUV is a former para, Jimmy. Jimmy the para, they call him. He's a weapons expert. He took a group of us over to Croatia, boar hunting, and he obviously knows his stuff. We did some small arms fire while we were there, and he's shit hot."
"And what ordnance do you have?"
"Ordnance?
Weapons. What are you carrying?" Barrett opened his jacket, and Hurst had a better look at the gun in the holster, a Glock.
"We've all got handguns. We've got a few shotguns and an Uzi. The Ranger Wing guys have got some bigger guns. Don't know what they are. Hecklers, maybe. And Jimmy the Para has a Kalashnikov."
"A Kalashnikov? Are you serious?"
"It's a souvenir," Jimmy said. "God knows how he got it back. But he's got the ammo and everything."
"What about comms?"
"Comms?" repeated Barrett.
"Communications," said Hurst. Barrett pulled a face.
"Been using our phones. WhatsApp mainly.
WhatsApp is encrypted, so it's safe, right? For calls and messages." "Okay," said Hurst. "And what about protection? K-9
Kevlar vests and that. A few other guys have the anti-stab vests they use on the doors, but that's about it. He saw the look of concern on Hurst's face. Is that a problem? I prefer us all to be kitted out in Kevlar, but it's not the end of the world. He rubbed his nose with the back of his hand as he considered his options. His last crew had been mainly highly trained former American Special Forces personnel, and they had failed miserably. He couldn't see how this ragtag group of misfits would fare any better. But beggars couldn't be choosers, and he would just have to make the best of what he'd been given. Okay, here's what's going to happen, he said. Jimmy the Para and the two former Rangers are with me. We're the A-team. You run the B-team. I'll brief you and you brief them. Barrett nodded. No problem. The DEA jet is due to land about 9 a.m. this morning, said Hurst. Whatever happens, the target must not get onto that plane. We'll do whatever has to be done, said Barrett.